Let's look at God's word, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Let's pray as we come to God's word. I want to encourage you, please keep the word in front of you. The screen might be difficult to follow this evening, so please keep the word in front of you so that we can follow along with God's word this evening. So let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and give you praise that you are God. We thank you and give you praise that you speak to us through your word. And we pray, Lord, that at this Christmas time, please help us to taste your goodness to us. And please help us to experience afresh the hope that came down at Christmas and the hope that comes down to us every day of our lives. So please fill this place with your spirit. Please lead us to Jesus. And please show us the hope that we can have and know in him, we pray. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Sorry, I just realized I didn't have a clicker. All right. Interesting. Hey, well done. Give Doug and the projector a round of applause. Yeah, there's lots of applause going on this evening. It's great. All right. Christmas seeks to answer the ultimate question of our lives. Has God abandoned us, or is God with us? Is God with us or not? And if God is with us, then life, even though it can be tough at times, it means that we can face anything in life because he is by our side. But if we believe that God is not with us or he's distant, then our future is limited to our own potential. We are all that we have. In many ways, 2020 has done a good job at exposing which of these two beliefs lives in our hearts. Are we all that we have, or is God with us? The gospel message is not that God is with us only when we're good. The message of the Bible is not that God's interest and love for you kind of blows hot and cold depending on his temperament, depending on whether we're having a good day or a bad day, depending on how we're behaving on a particular day. No, the gospel message says that in our darkest hour, in our worst moments, when we're underperforming big time in our relationship with God, when everything is against us and we deserve to be cast off, God is with us. God is with us as sinners. God is with us as rebels, not as religious people who are constantly trying to pull their socks up. And it's God with us that makes all the difference. Malcolm Muggeridge, he was an English journalist who was attracted to communism, and so he went to Russia in the 1930s with his wife. And he went there expecting to kind of somehow find this, socialist utopia. But in the end, he discovered something else. And this is what he wrote. He said this: "In Kiev, where I found myself on a Sunday morning, on an impulse, I turned into a church where a service was in progress. It was packed tight, but I managed to squeeze myself against the pillar from where I could survey the congregation and looked up at the altar. Young and old, peasants and townsmen, parents and children, even a few in uniform, it was a diverse assembly. Never before or since have I participated in such worship. The sense conveyed of turning to God in great affliction was overpowering. For instance, where in the liturgy the congregation says, 'There is no help for them except from God,' what intense feeling they put into those words. In their minds, I knew, as in my own mind, was a picture of those desolate, abandoned villages. The hunger and the hopelessness, the cattle trucks being loaded with humans in the dawn light. Where were they to turn for help? Not to the Kremlin, not to the forces of democracy in the West. Every possible human agency was found lacking. So only God remained, and to God they turned with a passion, a dedication, a humility impossible to convey. They took me with them. I felt closer to God than I ever had before, or am likely to again." In our world of 2020, in the midst of so much uncertainty and so much despair, where are we to turn to? Where can we find hope this evening? Well, we can find it in God with us. Over and over and over again, the Bible keeps reminding us that God is with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, those words that we read this evening, that's not a new idea. That's not a new concept for God. It's not a new idea for God. Ray Ortland, he says this: "Jesus standing with us is so deeply embedded in his identity, his name, his persona, standing with us, advocating for us. It's more than something he chooses to do. It's his instinct. It's his impulse. It's his heart. So that his name really is Emmanuel." Back in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, God speaking to Abraham, he says, "I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." Joshua 1:9, "Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you." Deuteronomy 31, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Isaiah 41, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then we come to the opening chapter of the New Testament. Here in Matthew chapter 1, you know, Joseph gets engaged to a young girl called Mary. But before they have opportunity to come together, he finds out that she's already pregnant. In his eyes, you know, she's already been unfaithful to him. So he decides to break up with her. But then one night he has this dream, and in the dream he's told, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Don't worry, Joseph. She hasn't been unfaithful. Rather, the baby is of God. A miracle has taken place in Mary's womb. A human baby is forming inside her, who is also God. This baby is the promised Messiah, Jesus, who will grow up and he will save his people from their sins." And if that isn't staggering enough, it goes on and says, "Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, through Isaiah. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." You know, Jesus is God's definitive statement that he has drawn near, never to leave. Beginning of Matthew's gospel, God is with us. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Fast forward to the end of the Bible, Revelation 21, 3 and 4. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know, the overwhelming message of the Bible is that God has drawn near to us in Jesus. He's done that to win our hearts and to take us to be with him forever. God is with us. It's who Jesus is. You know, sometimes at Christmas, we try to make Christmas Day kind of a perfect day, a day in which everything is right. You know, we plan our day very carefully. People are always saying, what are you doing at Christmas? It's a special time. It's a time that we set aside. It's a time that we decide very carefully how we're going to spend our time, what we're going to eat, the presents we give, the kind of presents that we receive. We seek to savor every moment. But Christmas isn't about enjoying a perfect day. It's about enjoying a perfect Jesus who is giving himself to us in our sin, in our brokenness, in our weakness, in our fears, in our triumphs, and in our disappointments. And so this evening, I want us to stop. I want us to spend some time savoring these words together this evening. We're going to do something different this evening. I want us to stop. I want us to savor these words this evening. God is with us. God is with us. I mean, who is this God? You know, when I was growing up in Northern Ireland, growing up in kids' church, we were given the task of learning something called the Westminster Catechism. Anybody done the Westminster Catechism growing up? We've got a couple of people. We're not going to test you this evening, don't worry. Over 100 questions, you kind of had to go through this, all these questions about the Bible, about who God was, with the motivation at the end you'd win a ruler. Pretty massive motivation. It's going to be difficult to kind of motivate for kids to do that today. You'd also get like this sticky kind of a little kind of a certificate-y thing you could stick on a book or something to say we've done it. But we went through every week. You had to go home, you had to memorize part of the catechism and come back and recite it the following week. Question number one. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to... Wonderful. Fantastic. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. I'm not going to test you in the next one, but I'll put it up on the screen. What is God? Question four. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. No, spirit means that God is unlimited. Eternal means that he never came into existence and he will never go out of existence. Unchangeable. You know, we are constantly changing as people. We change like the seasons. Our moods change, our character changes, our appearance changes, and so on. Everything that has been created is constantly changing. But God does not change. He is constant. He is unchanging. And God is all this with all that he is in his very being. In wisdom, you know, God always knows the best goal in every situation. And he's smarter, he's brighter than all of us put together. He's also powerful. Imagine, you know, you had the spaceship that could travel at the speed of light, which is a lot. It's very fast. And at that speed, you could circle around the earth 7 times in a second. Starting on Earth on a journey into space, you'd pass the moon in 2 seconds, Mars in 4 minutes, Pluto in 5 hours, and even then, you're just getting to the edge of our solar system. To get to our next closest star, you'd be traveling 4.3 years going at that speed. And at that speed, just across our galaxy, the Milky Way, from one side to the other, it would take 10,000 years. At that speed, it would take another 2 million years to reach our next galaxy. and 20 million years to reach the next close cluster of galaxies to that. We're only talking about a couple of galaxies here. And we know that there are billions of galaxies in the universe. God made that. God sustains that. How big is your God? We don't even have in English the kind of words to describe the immensity, the bigness, the power of God. Holiness means that he's wholly other. He's set apart. He's pure. That means he has no dark side that we somehow need to pacify in some way. Justice means that all of his thoughts and actions, they're free of deceit. They're free of spin. Goodness means there is nothing in him to alarm us about, nothing that we need to be concerned about. And truth means that he's inexhaustively honest. God is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. This is the God who is with us. Yet we often live our lives as though our issues are bigger than what he is. One time, Martin Luther, he was miserable and he was going on to his wife complaining about how hard life was and how God-forsaken he felt and how much he felt alone. He was just going on and on and on and on. And so his wife, Catherine, she put on a black funeral dress and she dressed all of her children in black. And when Luther saw Catherine and his kids, he asked her, "Who died?" And she said, "Have you not heard? God, apparently." How often we lose sight of all that God is, and we often focus on our problems and our phones as their presence only seems to get bigger as God gets smaller and smaller. Our problems just seem to get overwhelming, and as that happens, God at the same time gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Christmas teaches us to realign our thinking and encourage us to live in the reality of who God is, all that he is, the reality of a God who is ever present in every way and who reaches out to us with all that he is. You know, Emmanuel is just one of the words, the names of God in the Bible. Think of other names of God, you know, Yahweh. You know, I am, the one who brings things all into existence. El Shaddai, you know, God Almighty. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. El Elyon, the most high God. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Adonai, Master. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, and so on. Think of all the different images associated with God in the Bible. You know, God, King, Shepherd, Rock, Warrior, Shield, Defender, Strong Tower, Refuge, Lion, Lamb, you know, Comforter, Judge. Think about all the different attributes of God. Gracious, merciful, forgiving, sovereign, generous, loving, faithful, true, patient. That's who God is with us. And that's who we need him to be. All of him. So let's not settle for a Jesus of our own imagination or a kind of watered-down version of who God is. Let's stretch out our hearts this Christmas season. Let's stretch out our minds to all that he is and embrace all that he is. God is with us. God is also with us. You know, there have been moments in my life whenever a lapse of concentration has gotten me or other people in trouble. You know, times when I've been kind of distracted and almost crashed my car into the back of someone. You know, kind of I've sneezed and I've almost crashed into someone. Times, you know, when I've pulled my kids back from almost hitting a moving car or caught them in the nick of time just as they're about to fall off a ledge or to fall off a swing. But with God, there is never a moment when he turns his eyes from us. Never a time whenever God turns his heart away from us. Never a time when God gets weary or tired with us. He sees us. He's aware of our need. He's attentive to our cries. He knows our sin. He knows our weakness. He knows our brokenness. And he is with us in it all. Now, as we look over the past year, you know, it's hard to believe all that's happened. You know, bushfires, drought, coronavirus, which kind of morphed into COVID-19, you know, lockdowns, toilet paper fights, hand sanitizer purchases. I have never bought more detergent from Bunnings in all of my life. It should be kind of in a job description now for pastors, you know, job, you know, buying detergent and hand gloves and all that kind of stuff at Bunnings. Zoom, working from home, fear of touching people, fear of touching anything. More Zoom, Brexit, protest, riots, global economic recessions, the US elections, culture getting cancelled, along with everything else, overseas and interstate trips, reunions, get-togethers, concerts, parties, sporting events, birthday parties, all cancelled, all canned. And even at one point, you know, walking to the end of the street was an adventure. And for some people in the world today, it still is. And where was God in all of this? Where is God in all of this? God is with us. God was with us. He is still with us. In the midst of our frailty, in the midst of our uncertainty, he stands not opposed to us, not against us, but he stands with us. And when I was a teenager, I worked in a record store. It was my part-time job. It was probably one of the most sought-after part-time jobs that any teenager could ever do, was working in the record shop. And one of the perks of working in the record shop was that you could get tickets for concerts for free. The House Martins, you know, Level 42. No, it's not really registering very much, is it? Okay, you too. Okay, all right. Simple Minds, you know, some of the big bands. You know, you could kind of, we could get tickets, or we could sort of get tickets for concerts. Because the ticket was the person that you went with. My boss would tell me, Sam, when you get to your gig, don't be standing up and queuing up with everybody else. I want you to walk up to the front of the queue. And when you get there, I want you to go to the promoter. And when you go there, I want you to go with a member of staff from the shop. Because they're your ticket to get in. Because they're with you, you'll get in. Being with a member of staff, it took me to places that I could never access by myself. I was just a nobody. The people, the promoters didn't even know who I was. But their presence with me made all the difference. Matthew 1:23, Matthew's quoting a passage from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. In Isaiah, God's people are being pressed on every side by her enemies. And in the middle of all the conflict, God promises deliverance for his people. In Isaiah 7, King Ahaz is told to ask for a sign that this is going to take place, that God is really going to deliver his people. But he refuses to ask. He doesn't want to test God, but Isaiah gives him a sign anyway. And that sign is Emmanuel, God with us. In Isaiah, God is with his people in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the conflict. And he's with us in the midst of the conflict, in the midst of the battle today. Whatever battle we face, no matter how hard-pressed we feel, God goes into battle. God goes into battle with us. You know, supremely, in our ultimate crisis, God fought for us on the cross. When sin and death and hell rose up against us to consume and to overpower us, Jesus defeated it all by dying for us in our place. A Savior who says, you know, I'm only going to stick with you when you act in such a way that deserves me, is really no Savior at all. That's not the kind of Savior that we need. We need a Savior of verse 21, a Savior who will save his people from their sins. A Savior who fights for sinners. A Savior who fights for broken and twisted people, just like you, just like me. As someone once said to me, if God is with you, even when you least deserve it, who can be against you? If God steps in, God sticks up for you, he fights for you when nobody else will, who can stand against you? You know, when I lived in Japan, I had a neighbor who hated me because I was a gaijin, I was a foreigner, and I was also a Christian. It was a double whammy. And once he came reported to the police, he reported me to the police for parking his car illegally in front of his house. There was nothing illegal about it. But anyway, I got a ticket from the police, and I couldn't pay it. So I went to the police station with an empty wallet. At the police station, I tried to explain to the policeman everything that happened, but he wasn't having any of it. I had to pay the fine. But he said that he'd go and check, you know, with his superior, which basically means I'm not going to do anything, but I'll just go and pretend I'm doing something anywhere. But anyway, he went, he came back. And when he came back, he held the ticket out in front of my face, and he just tore it up. And he said to me, "Sam, your job of sharing the gospel in Japan is one of the most important jobs in this country at this time." Now, to this day, I still have no idea how that happened. I still don't know why he did that. Except that God was with me. He had taken me to places of trust that I could never have accessed by myself. But at the same time, there's also been numerous times when God hasn't intervened. Well, not obviously anyway. Many times when he hasn't saved me, obviously, from a situation. But when he doesn't, he is still in my corner, and he is still wanting to take me to places of trust and dependence that I could never access by myself. God personally, God directly, is involved in your life. He's personally and directly involved in your struggle. Your struggle is his struggle, because he is with you. God is also with us. That's incredible, isn't it? You know, because, you know, who of us deserves him? When we know who God is, we struggle to believe that we could ever be worthy of him. You know, God might smile on other people, but he certainly doesn't smile on me. I mean, why would he? But the truth is that we matter to God. We really do. God treasures us. God rejoices over us. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Zephaniah 3, verse 17. God speaks there to his stubborn people. He says these words, "The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing." I mean, if God does that when his people are rebellious and unworthy, how much more will he do that for those of us who are in Christ, those of us who are in his Son? You know, God turns up at your house with his boombox, with his cassette player, and he serenades over you. He doesn't care about who's watching, doesn't care about how embarrassing it might look, but he, God, serenades over you. And to prove his point, he came down to this world to be with us then, and he comes down to be with us today, to be with us always. You see, that Christmas, so long ago, it was only the first. Maybe you've heard, as you've been going shopping over the Christmas period, the Wizard classic, you know, "I wish it could be Christmas every day." Well, for those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's exactly what happens. You have Christmas every day. God drawing near to us in Jesus. And what all of us love is that God is not just with this person or with that person, but he's with all of us. All of us together as a church, as his people, as his family. He's not just with the big, important people. He's with us. He's not just with the confident and popular people. He's with us. He's not just with people who seem to have their lives together. He is with us. And he's made a promise in Hebrews, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I have no idea what's ahead of us in 2021. There's no guarantee that 2021 is going to be any better than this year. The likelihood is, because we live in a world that is marred by sin, 2021 will have its own fair share of pain and difficulty. Our great hope is not to get a vaccine. But whatever is ahead of us, let us, you know, face it with hope. By facing 2021 through the lens of all that God is. And not through the lens of our troubles or our problems or the crises that we face. Let us fix our hope not on the God of our own construction, but on God as He really is. Let His presence be the ultimate reality in your life. Let's live in the difference that God makes in being with us. I began with a quote from Malcolm Muggeridge. I'm going to end with a quote. This is a quote that he wrote 40 years ago, but I think it still rings true for us today in 2020. This is what he says. Let us then, as Christians, rejoice that we see around us on every hand the decay of the institutions of power, empires falling to pieces, money in total disarray, dictators and parliamentarians alike perplexed by the confusion and conflicts which encompass them. For it is precisely when every earthly hope has been explored and found lacking, and in the gathering darkness every glimmer of light has finally flickered out, it's then that Christ's hand reaches out sure and firm. Then Christ's words bring inexpressible comfort. Then His light shines brightest, abolishing the darkness forever. Now, if you are fed up with the broken promises of this world, now is the time to turn to Christ in hope and in trust. For some of you this evening, it may be for the very first time, but for some of you, it may be the millionth time. Will you turn to Christ in hope and in trust? Because God is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so tempted to focus on the problems that we face, the crises that we're in, the imminent danger that we feel. Sometimes we can be so weighed down that we lose sight of who You are. Sometimes the darkness comes in and it just overpowers us and we lose sight of You. Lord, I pray, Lord, this evening, please help us to realign our vision. Lord, may You and all that You are be the reality of our lives. May the reality for our life not be the darkness, but may You be the reality. Lord, may You be in us and before us and around us all that You say that You are. And please give us the faith to believe. Help us to realign our eyes, our heart, our will on You, knowing that You are with us. And Lord, when we are tempted to feel that we're not worthy, when we're tempted to feel like we're so pressed down by our fear and by shame and by guilt, please help us to know that You have drawn alongside us, that You are with us. And because You are with us, Lord, we can celebrate Christmas every single day. So Lord, may this fantastic truth of God with us, Lord, may that penetrate the hardness and the brokenness of our heart. Lord, fill the cracks this evening.
Lord, I pray, please turn our hearts in trust and in faith to you. Because we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.